Okay, we're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, about 10 lines from the bottom. We're going to learn about Abba Umna. Abba Umna, have ate leshlame mimitivta derekia kol yoma. There would be a bat kol that would come down from the heavens and say hello to him every day. Okay? It was like he was in this level that somehow he would get these godly messages every day of saying, you know, how are you?
Mimitivta derekia at the end of the shiur.
Okay. Okay, right. Mitzvah Dirikia is right. The Yeshiva and Shamayim. Ula Abaye, and Abaye would have this, hear this heavenly voice. Kol Mala Yoma DeShabta. Every erev Shabbat, not every day. Every erev Shabbat. LeRava Kol Mala Yoma DeKipure. Only erev Yom Kippur. Okay. Now we're going to see that there was a little bit of jealousy between Abaye and Abba Umna. Why did he get it every day, and I only got it once a week? And between Rava and Abaye. Rava only got it once a year, and Abaye got it every Erev Shabbos. Hava kahasha date to Abaye mishum de Abba Umna. He was feeling bad about it. Amrule, lo matzi l'me'aba ke'ovde. You couldn't do what he does. Umay hava uvde. You didn't do what he did, right? Lo yachal. You, how would you explain it? You, I don't know, you couldn't or you didn't.
Not able to.
You're not able to. Right. I guess you don't have the capability, or I don't know why.
You're not in the position to.
Right, right. Here it's more that you're not in a position to, because you'll see what he did within the position that he was in, is the job that he was in. We're going to, from here till partly into the next page, we're going to have stories about people who were unique and special and what made them special, which kind of continues in the theme of things we were talking about yesterday. Techihava Avi Milta. Okay, when he would, what was his job was a bloodletter. We talked about this before, that this was a means in those days. They thought that taking blood out of people's bodies was a way to cure them. He was a bloodletter, and when he went to work, he would separate the men from the women for its new purposes. Ve'itle levusha de'ipe karna, de'havad bezia kiku silta. He had this beged, which had like a keren shaped, a horn shaped piece that attached to it. To have a bezer be kusilta, it had an opening at the end of the, or at the beginning, however you see it, of this horn shaped piece. Ki havet atile itita, when there was a woman who came in, havamal bishla, he would put this on her. So it was a beged. Attached to the beged was this horn shaped piece, and at the end of the horn shaped piece, it would go sort of toward her body, there was an opening. So what would he do, basically? He would put in the thing he would use in order to pierce her body to take out the blood through this horn-shaped thing, in which case he wouldn't have to take off her shirt or wherever it was, you know, whatever part of her body he needed to take the blood from. It was a way of doing it in a tsanua manner. So that he wouldn't have to look at her. Right, obviously look at her doesn't mean, you know, he avoided her eyes, right? It meant that he wouldn't have to look at her body. Ve'itla duchta detznia. Deshadebe pshita. Wait a minute. This is...
private place outside.
Right. He had a place that was tsanua where people would put their money. Shadebe is to put their pshite of their coins. Instead of people paying him, right, and giving him the money, he set up aside outside his clinic, okay, where it was this sanua box, right, it was like mutzna, it was hidden, and people would then put their money in, they would pay him. De'itle, shadebe, de'leitle, lo michsef. If they have money, they would put money in. If they didn't have money, then they wouldn't be embarrassed that they couldn't pay him. So this way, he made sure that if people did have money, they would be able to not pay him in an appropriate manner, in a way that wouldn't embarrass them. And when Tamidei Chachamim came, Igramine lo shakil, he wouldn't charge them money at all. Ubatar dekai yad le pshita. And after they would get up, he would give them money. Not only would he not make them pay, but he would actually give them some tzedakah. Ba'amar le zil bri nafshach, he would say, go take care of yourselves, right? Because he realized that part of the reason they were sick was because they weren't taking care of themselves. Here, we see the people learning weren't able to make a parnasa. Yom achad, shadra Abaye zuga derabanan lemivdike. Okay, one day, Abaye sent, what happened? He wanted to check out, is this real guy really legit? Okay? Or maybe, right, again, it's tough to know, because Abai was clearly somewhat jealous of him. They told him, well, you can't do this, and he wanted to see, is this for real? Okay, so he sent a zug of chachamim to check him out. Odvinu v'achlinu v'ashkinu. Okay, he sits them down, he feeds them and drinks them, right, gives them drink. Umachle bistarke balelia. And he gives them stuff to sleep on at night. Okay, bistarke v'aser, like either pillows or covers or blankets, something to cover them.
This is woolen rugs.
Yeah, there's different opinions about what it is and what comes from the, I think it's the Greek. Okay, or I don't remember which language. The Koran has a good explanation there. Litzafra karchinu v'shaklinu. They folded it up and they took it with them. Okay, I guess it wasn't a pillow. A covering of sorts. They folded it up and they took it with them. V'kamu v'nafkalelu l'shuka. And they went and they brought it to the shuk. V'eshkechinu. And they saw, who did they see in the shuk? The blood letter. Abba, what's his name? Abba Umna. Amarle l'shayme. L'shayme mar. Can you tell us how much this is valued for? Hechishavu, right? And as L'shayme mar, hechishavu. In other words, how much is this worth, they say to him, about his own stuff? Amarle, hachi v'hachi. He says, it costs this and this. Amarle, v'dilma shavu tfei. Maybe it's worth more than that. Amarle, v'hachi shaklinu. This is what I bought it for. Okay, now there's two ways to read this story. Either he's saying, this is what I bought something very similar for, right? Not realizing it was the same. Or it seems, though, really, that he knew and he was just being a nice person. It wasn't accusing them off the bat, which we're going to see later in the story. Amrle, didach niu, v'shaklinu minach, this is yours, and we took it from you. Amrle, b'mtuta minach, b'may chashaditin. They say to him now, can you please explain to us, what do you suspect us of? You know, why don't you say anything to us? Amrle, amina pidyon shvuyim ikladu l'rabbanan, v'ichsifu l'meimrle. I assumed that there was a case of pidyon shvuyim, they had to, right, in Yanati Yoma, they had to release people who were shvuyim. Ikle lehu l'rabbanan, and the rabbis needed this, v'ichsifu, and they were embarrassed. Right, you see here that he's very much sensitive to the embarrassment thing, right? The embarrassment came up before about people being embarrassed not to pay, and here it's about people being embarrassed to ask for money. So he said, I assume that you were just embarrassed to ask me. Obviously, he was this rich guy, right? In other words, it seems clear he's the rich doctor who's very benevolent. But, you know, he figured the rabbis were embarrassed to go ask him. That's what I assumed. So I assumed you just stole my stuff. Amule, hashken nishkalinu. Now you can take it back. Hashken nishkalinu mar. You can take it back because we don't really need it anymore, right? That wasn't the case, and we were just testing you. They don't say that, but it seems obvious. Amar lehu. So what does he say to them? Mahi shata asachtinu midatai litzdaka. As soon as you took it from me, I just kind of said, okay, well, I guess I'm giving this litzdaka. Obviously, you guys needed it. You took it. And I basically had in mind that I didn't need this anymore, right? This comes up by mitziyot, right? If you own something or if something gets stolen and you have yeush, right? It doesn't say the words yeush here, but that seems to be the case. That you already, and it's more, it's like combination. Number one, I didn't think I was going to ever see it again. And number two, I assumed it went to tzedakah. So I already had in mind that this money was going to tzedakah, so I don't want it back. Thank you very much. Okay. So again, you see here his sensitivity to other people. He didn't embarrass them. He was on the chavzchut, and that's what made him unique. And that's why he got a bakol, said hello to him every day. Okay, first of all, it's interesting. I just realized that when they say that Abai couldn't do this, number one, he's a blood letter, but number two, there was another big problem with Abai. Abai wasn't so rich. And this man had opportunities because of his wealth that he was able to do that Abai, who we've learned about before, was an orphan and he had a hard life and he didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have opportunities to do things. And here you see sometimes not having money prevents you from having opportunities to get to a higher level in certain areas. This guy had a special sloop, and it was useful that he was rich. Now have a kahasha da'ate de Rava mishum d'Abaye. Now Rava is upset with Abaye. You know, he feels bad that he's not on the same madrega as Abaye. Amule misteyech de kamagnit akula karcha. You should be reassured because you were megen magnit. You were megen on the whole city. Your whole city should have died, and your sloot protected them from dying. Next story. Rabbi Broka Choza'a. Rabbi Broka, who came from Bechoza'a, okay, the city we saw before yesterday. There was Deber in the city or there was some sort of plague in the city. Have a Shechiach, but that's not relevant to now. It just happens to be it's the same city. Rabbi Broka came from that city. Have a Shechiach B'Shuka de Beit Lefet. He often went to the Shuk of Beit Lefet. Havashachiach Eliyahu Gabe. Often Eliyahu is by his side. Eliyahu Navi. Okay? Eliyahu Navi appears many times in the sources about, right, this miracle man who comes and appears and reveals things. So here he's going to reveal some information about people. Amarle. So now Rabbi Broka says to Eliyahu, Ika b'hai shuka bar alme da'ate? Is there someone in the shuk who's ra'oi l'chaye olam haba? Amarle, lo. No, there's nobody near here. Adahachi v'hachi chazalahu gavra. In the meanwhile, they're walking, and they see this guy. Tehavasiyeh misane uchme. He's wearing black shoes. Now, black shoes were known that the Jews didn't wear black shoes. It was the dress of a non-Jew. V'lo rame chute d'tchelta b'glime. He wasn't wearing a chute of tchele in his cloak, right? He wasn't wearing tzitzit. Amar lei, hai bar alma da'atehu. Eliyahu looks and he says, that guy is l'chaye olam haba. Wow. Weird, right? Okay, Rabbi Broka, rahat batre, he runs after the guy. Amar lei, my ovdah, what do you do? What do you do for a living, right? He wants to know. Amar lei, it's interesting, by the way, I think it's interesting that Eliyahu doesn't tell him why he's worthy, right? Eliyahu Navi usually appears in these stories. We'll have to see as we come across other stories. But he comes and he does something, but he doesn't do it all the way, right? He gives you the push, and then you have to make it happen, right? So he has to now go and ask the guy and say, what do you do? And learn from him what makes him unique, that he's the Roi Olachai Olam Haba. Amarle, Zandukana Ana, I work as a warden in a jail, in a prison. Vasrana gavre l'chu v'nashe l'chu. And I separate between the men and the women. You see the same thing, okay? That's niyud ishu. V'reminu poraya ben hane l'hane. And I stick my bed right in between the men and the women. Ki hechi delalete l'idei isura. To prevent them from isura. Ki chazina bat Yisrael t'yave nochrim ala einayu. When I see there's a Jewish woman who the nochrim put their eyes to say, right? They set their eyes upon her. Masrana nafshe u'matzil nala. I'm most of my nefesh, and I save her from the nochrim. Yom Echad, one day, havat nara murasa gaban. There was a woman who was engaged to be married. Remember, engaged in those days meant you were already asur to everybody, right? In the beginning, you're mutar to everybody. Erusin, which we now do under the chuppah they did usually a year before, meant you're now asur to everybody and not yet mutar to your husband, and the nisuin matirs you to your husband. So there was a nara murasa gaban, tiyalve ben nochre enayu, and the nochrim set their eyes upon her. Shakle Jordaya dechamra. I took the wine. I forgot the Jordaya. What is it?
Lees.
What?
The lees, which is the dregs at the bottom.
Okay, the dregs at the bottom of the wine, which were very red. Vishade lebeshipule, and I threw it at the bottom of her dress. Va'amre distinahi, and they said, oh, she must be menstruating, and you know, let's stay away from her.
Was that an issue for them?
I don't think it was a halachic issue. It was just a, you know, a sanitary issue, or, you know, it kind of was a turnoff. Amar lei, my time alet lachute, v'ramit masane uchme. Okay, so fine. That's a great story, right? But why are you dressed like that? If you're such a great tzaddik, I mean, yeah, he doesn't use those words. Why are you dressed like this? Amar lei, aylina v'nafkina b'nei nochre, ki hechi delolidu dihuda ana. Okay, I go in and out among the nochrim. I have a lot of relationships to the nochrim, and I don't want them to know I'm a Jew. Why? Ki havu gazre gzerata modana luhula rabanan ubay rachame umatlinu legzeratayu. Oh, I skipped something. Sorry, I skipped a line. Okay. I skipped a line in the beginning. I don't know how I did that. I skipped a line. He says, what do you do? Sorry, it was the same line repeats twice. And he said, go away and come back tomorrow. And he comes back tomorrow. I skipped that. Ma'uvdach amar lezil ha'ina batala machar. Okay? Go, come back tomorrow. Go now and come back tomorrow, and I'll tell you. And then tomorrow, he says, ma'uvdach. Okay? That's going to come up in a minute. I just, ma'uvdach appeared twice. I skipped that one. Okay. So now, he says, so what do you do? This, when they make a gzerah, moduna le'aluhu l'rabbanan, ubay rachmei mubata l'gzeratayhu. This is an interesting one. He said, basically, I'm a spy. And I go in, right, I go in and out of the Nochrim. I dress like them so they don't suspect me of being a Jew. And I hear what they say. And when I hear they're going to make a gzerah, I go tell the rabbis right away. And then they ask Rachamim, and batlim mivatlai l'gzeratayim. Here it's interesting. He rushes to tell them why. In the end, there's going to be a gzerah anyway. Why don't they just pray once there's a gzerah? So I was thinking about it. It's much easier to repeal a gzerah before it actually gets set. Like, he hears them talking about it. And if we go right away and pray to God, it's almost like the flip side of when the wall was rickety and the malachim said, oh, let's kill them because it's easy, right? That we could just make this wall fall in a more natural way. So the same thing, if they haven't decided 100% yet, it's easier to go to God and say, can you just make sure they don't decide to give us a gzerah, rather than once the gzerah exists. So he tries to kind of find out and tell them in advance. So now, last question. Why'd you tell me come back tomorrow? Right? At that moment, they had just made a gzerah. And I said to myself, Amina, Bereisha, Ezel ve'eshma lehu l'rabbanan, delibai rachmei halai, demilta. Okay? In other words, he said, I wanted to run right away and tell the rabbis, and I was too busy with that I didn't have time to talk to you. Okay. Adahachi v'hachi, in the meanwhile, atu hanach trei, there were another two people. Ate amale, hanach nami b'nei alma da'ate ninhu. Okay? And the Eliyahu tells him, these guys also. What's your job? We're comedians. We make people who are sad smile. Also, when we see two people fighting together with each other, we make peace between them. Okay? So here, I think if you take these two stories, the two stories are basically trying to show, and we've talked about this in the Masechet before, that often things are not as they appear, right? This guy looked like he was a non-Jew, right? And these two comedians, how serious do people say comedians, right? They don't exactly always look at them as, oh, these are people who are at the top level of society, right? They're not generally learned people, and they're, you know, but what they're trying to show is, number one, I think it's similar to those stories where we said it wasn't the rabbi that saved the city, it was the town, it was, you know, the one guy who lent out his tools, and that certain small things that, you know, seem natural even to some people are not always so natural to other people, and the sensitivity that they show is a sensitivity that isn't always so obvious. To these people, they didn't think it was such a big deal, right? They were just being their natural, sensitive people, and yet they're trying to say this is something that's worthy of note. And I think, again, it's trying to show there's all different levels of good deeds, right? There's the learning people. There's the people who learn and work and somehow combine those. And then there's the people who make other people happy, and that's a worthy. And then everybody has, and maybe that's part of also the idea of everybody davening together, that you have all the schuyot of the different people, and that together forms the whole picture, which is really the way we see the world, right? That it's all made up of, you know, we're not only individuals caring about ourselves, but that there's a whole, and that it's important to get to know people. Like, I think that's why Eliyahu doesn't tell him what's with these people. He wants communication. Go meet these people, learn about them, find out what makes them unique, and, you know, in that way you increase communication, you increase community. Anyway, nice stories. Okay, we're going to get a little now technical. Back to some technical halachic details. We had the Mishnah that talked about al ela matriim b'chol makom. Okay, these are things that we cry out everywhere, not just in the place where people are hit by it. So now we're going to see a braita about it where there's a bit of a machloket. Tana rabbanan al ela matriim b'chol makom al shidafon. By the way, I looked up more about the shidafon. So in one translation I had seen, it said it blows the chaff from the wheat from the chaff, but here, I looked up some other interpretations. It seems to be that it's some plague that causes the seeds to turn black, according to some opinions. It's from the wind, but it causes the seeds to change color and be messed up. It's called blight. I've never heard of that word, but okay. Ala shidafon va'ala yirekon, that was when someone gets sick and they turn green. Va'ala arbe v'chasil, two different types of locusts. Va'al chayara'a. Rabbi Akiva Omer al shidafon v'al yirekom b'kol shehu, even if it's a teeny bit, right? Okay, which goes against what we saw before. Do you remember the shidafon was kimelo piatanur? We didn't know exactly what that was. We're going to get into that today. But here he's saying it's b'kol shehu, even if it's not melo piatanur. Arbe v'chasil afilu lo nir'eh b'eretz Yisrael ela kanaf echad matri'in alehem. And he also says about the locust, even if it's one wing of a locust, that's enough to say we're gonna call out to God for this. Va'al chaya, tanu rabbanan, chaya ha'asha amru, bizman shehi meshulachat, matriyin aleha, eina meshulachat, e matriyin aleha. Now we're going to see that there's different types of chayot ra'ot. There's a chaya ra'a that's not natural and not natural. When it's meshulachat, means it's sent from God, okay? That means this is a sign that it comes from God. Then there's a chay hara'a she'ena meshulachet. Chayot ra'ot sometimes are just around, right? And they're in the wild and they might do things. Now, like if you went to a safari, you can't say, oh my God, there's a wild animal and it's going to attack me. Like it's the animal's in its natural habitat. Of course it's in wild. You went to his place, right? So now we're going to see, is it, the Breita continues, is he meshulachet, is he she'ena meshulachet? So obviously if it's sent from God, then you call out to God. If it's just a natural occurrence, then you don't call out to God. So now the Breita wants to explain, so which case is which? Near eight be'ir, if you see an animal in the city, then it's meshulachet. Basadeh ain't a meshulachet. If you see it in the sadeh, it's not. It's natural. Bayom meshulachet. It's normal to see an animal. It's not normal to see an animal during the day. Balayla ain't a meshulachet. The animals come out often at night when people aren't wandering around. Ratash ne b'nei adam. We're going to get into a lot of contradictions within this braita because what do you mean? Ba'ir, bayom, ba'ir, balayla. Like these are two things that we're going to see. They can't exactly work together, and the Gemara is going to answer them up. Ratash ne b'nei adam v'ratzta achareihem. So if she sees two people and runs after him, them, mishulachat, that's a sign that's coming from God. Nechbet bipnehem, naturally, animals actually hide from people. So, eina mishulachat. Tarfash nebne adam, what if she attacks two people, va'achlachat mehem, but only ate one of them? Clearly, she wasn't, animals don't attack if they're not planning to eat. So, if they attack two people and only ate one, that's not a natural occurrence. Right? Then it appears that God's saying that one was meant to die. Achlash nehem, ena meshulachet. If she ate both of them, then it's natural. Al tala gag, v'natlat tinyok me'arisa, meshulachet. Okay, right? Obviously, if she goes up to a roof of a house and takes a baby from there, that's not a natural thing. Ha gufa kasha. Now the Gemara is going to say this braita is self-contradictory. Amart nirata be'ir meshulachet. You said if it's seen in the city, it's meshulachet. Lo shna b'yom, lo shna b'layla. It sounds like it doesn't matter whether it's during the day or night. Whenever you see an animal in the city, that's a problem. That's a sign from God. V'hadar amart b'yom meshulachet, b'layla ain't meshulachet. But then you say, during the day, it's meshulachet, b'layla ain't meshulachet. Lo kasha. Don't worry about it. Not a problem. Hachi kamar. Nirata ba'ir b'yom meshulachet. Ba'ir b'layla ain't meshulachet. If you see it in the city during the day, then it means it's sent from God. But if you see it in the city at night, even at night in the city, animals would roam around. Inami, or, and on the flip side, basadeh, afilu bayom ena meshulachet. And in the fields, they go all the time. So if you see a wild animal in the fields, that's a natural occurrence. You don't make a fast for that or call out to God. Ratash ne b'nei adam v'ratzta achareihem. Here we're going to get to another contradiction. If you see two people, and if the animal sees two people and runs after them, mishulachat. Now, what does that imply? Here we're going to see the two different things are implied from two different sentences. If she sees two people and runs after them, that means she's sent from God. But if she's standing in one place and not moving, that would imply ena mishulachat. That's normal, to be standing, right? Because only if she runs does she look at as a sent from God. But if she's standing, she's not. Bahadar amart, but then you also say nechbek mipnehem ena meshulachet. If she's hiding, then that means that it's not sent from God. Ha omedet, therefore it implies only if she's hiding. But if she were standing, it means she's sent from God. So now we don't know how to read this because standing is implied, right? You know, each line gives an extreme, which means that the middle ground, right, which is the omedet, comes out to opposite conclusions. So now they say, no, don't worry. There are two different cases. Lo kasha. Kam b'sadeh asmucha la'agam. B'kam b'sadeh she'en asmucha la'agam. In a said field that's right near the water, okay, right near a lake, that's the animal's natural habitat. And therefore, if the animal's just standing there, then that would be a natural occurrence. Whereas in a sadeh she'en omedet, en asmucha la'agam, that would then, if the animal's standing in a place where it's not her natural habitat, then you would say that it's a wild animal. And then only if, you know, it's sent from God. And there only if she's hiding in that place, right, in a place where she's not comfortable, there the natural thing is to hide. So that would be in that case. And in the other case, if she's running after two people, that would be what's natural. And standing would be, that would be not natural and standing would be natural. Okay, because when she's in her natural habitat, she's calm and she's usually just standing. Okay, so now they're going to ask another final. I think it's the no. We have two more questions. Tarfash ne b'nei adam ke'achav achla achad mehem meshulachat. Shnehem ena mishulachat. Right? So it's, so from here, what do you see? If she attacks two people and eats one of them, mishulachat. But the implication is that if she eats both of them, or does it say it explicitly? Shnehem, right, it says it explicitly, yeah. Right, if she eats both of them, then she's ena mishulachat. That's what it says in the Braita, right? Ha'amart afilu ratzta. But doesn't it say even if she just ran after two people, she would be mishulachat? So how could it be that if she runs after two people, right, if she's running after two people, we said that means it's a sign from God. If she's hiding, that means it's natural. And here it says if she runs after two people and eats them, that's natural. So how could that be natural? And running after two people is not natural. So now what do they say? Amar Papa, the same type of answer. Kitane ha'u ba'agma. When it says that she's, that it's, one second, when she's, when the Braita says, when she's in the agam, that's her natural setting. So there, it would be natural if she were running after people. Then it would be ena mishulachat. But if she's not in her natural habitat, then it would be more normal that she'd be hiding and not running after people. Okay. Gufa. Altala gag minatzlat chinyok me'arisam, mishulachat. If the animal goes up to the gag and takes a baby, that's mishulachat. The Gemara says, pshita, obviously. Why do you even need to tell us this? Amra papa, kekuche ditzayde. Okay, this is explained, there's this place where animals, like a little area where the hunters set up like a little house. Okay? Now in that type of house, it would be natural for an animal to jump into it. That's not a regular house. That's like a place where it was actually a trap for a fot. Okay? That's what Rashi says. It's they would dig this little thing to catch the fot. And even though it's not a binyan kavua, it's like a binyan. And you would have thought that if they take a baby from there, that would be natural. And they're saying even that isn't natural. Okay. Alacheref. Tana Rabbanan. Cherev shamru eino tzarich lomar cherev sheino shel shalom ela filu cherev shel shalom. What does it say? If an army comes into your city, then you call out to God. So they're saying, what kind of army? If it's an army that's coming to fight, obviously, right? But they're saying it's even if an army is coming not to fight. What does that mean, an army is coming not to fight? An army passes through your city. If an army passes through your city, even if they're not intending to fight against you, you cry out to God. Why? She'ein lecha cherev shel shalom yoter miparo necho. Anybody remember the story from Sefer Divrei Hayamim? It's the famous story of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Okay, and we're going to see even there's a quote from Echa that connects to this. It's actually one of the keynotes. It's all about this. Okay, Paro Necho was a king from Mitzrayim, and he was going to fight against the Assyrians. And what did he need to do to get to the Assyrians? He had to cross through Israel. So he goes to go through, and Yoshiyahu HaMelech goes to approach him, and he says, we're going to see right now, okay? But I'll tell you the background. He wants to go through the city, and Yoshiyahu said, and he says, I'm not coming to fight against you, I just want to pass, I got to get to my battle, right? You're not so important to me, I got to get to the next place. So what happens? Yoshiyahu doesn't believe him, and he says, what do you mean, you're coming to my city, you must be coming to fight, and he fights against him, and that's how Yoshiyahu gets killed. Who was Yoshiyahu? He was a Melech Yehuda, one of the last few kings before the Korban. We learned about him before in the context of the reform he did in the Beit HaMikdash, and he found that I think they say that he was Gonezita Aron Kodesh then, right? Bimei Yoshiyahu was Nignaz. I think that was the two different opinions about whether the Aron Kodesh was Nignaz, where it was hidden, or it was taken away entirely, right? Whether it went to Galut. Anyway, he did a whole reform. He found the Sefer Torah and he opened it up and he started this whole, he said, oh my God, I can't believe we're not doing all this stuff. And he basically reforms the Beit HaMikdash and he's a great king, but he messes up on a few things. This is one of them. And they say that his real mess up was that he didn't go to Yirmiyahu and ask what to do, right? He should have gone to the Navi. He's very confident in himself. And the other thing he's known for not being great about, and this is also we'll see today, is that he wasn't exactly in touch with the people. Like he made this great reform, but it was really him. And it didn't filter down to the people. And a great leader, right, it has to filter down to the people. If you're, you know, you might be great yourself, but if you can't get to your people, then that's a problem. So let's see. Okay, so here, there's no more cherev shel shalom, yoter miparo necho, va'afa pichei nechshal b'hamelech Yoshiyahu. Okay? And that caused his downfall. Shneamar, Vayishlach elav malachim lemor. This is Paro Necho sends the messengers to say, Mali velecha melech Yudah. What do I have to do with you? Lo elecha atayam. I'm not coming to fight against you. Ki ima beit melchamti. Ve'elohim amar lebaaleini. Chadar lecha me'elohim asheri mi ba'al yashchitecha. And here we're going to see what this means exactly. But God said, now who's this God? We're going to see it's the Avodah Zarah, right? He's saying, my Chadar lecha me'elohim asheri mi ba'al yashchitecha. In other words, leave me and my gods, right? My gods are with me, and I'm not coming to fight with you, and I'm not going to destroy you. My Elohim asheri mi. What does this mean, Elohim asheri mi? What Elohim? Amar Yudah Marav, zo avodah zarah. So he, and what did Yoshiyahu say? Amar, Yoshiyahu said, ho'il v'kabatach b'avodah zarah yechil nale. He said, because this guy is counting on idols to help him, I can obviously succeed. I've got God on my side, right? It's not like he didn't believe in God. He said, I've God on my side. I'll go fight against him. What happened? V'yoru haro'im lemelech Yoshiyahu. Okay, the snipers came and they shot him. V'yomer hamelech lavadav, he'eviruni ki hachaleti mod. He says to his servants, please take me because I've gotten very sick. Mai ki hachaleti mod, what does this mean? Amar v'yudal marav, melamech asu kogufo kikvara. His whole body was like a sieve, right? Stuck with holes. They shot so many shots that he had like holes in him. Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rebbe Yonatan. Mipnei mana enash Yoshiyahu. What was he punished for? Mipnei shahayala limalech b'Yirmiyahu v'lo nimlach. He should have gone to Yirmiyahu and asked him, and he didn't. My darash, what did he think? As what was he thinking? He was so confident, right? They assume, especially because he was a good king, he must have had good reason for not going to Yirmiyahu. V'cherev lo ta'avor ba'artzachem. It says in the Brachot, in Vayikra, it says that a cherev will not come in your land. My cherev, ilem a cherev she'eno shel shalom, v'haktiv natachi shalom ba'aretz. It says in the pasuk, I'm going to bring peace to your land. And it also says, v'cherev lo tavor ba'aretzachem. So the cherev must not be a cherev of milchama, because it already says there won't be milchama. Right? I think what's going on here is also, he feels like he did this whole reform, and things are so great that it must be we're in a time of bracha. So we saw a sign, and he said, this can't be a cherev of peace. It must be, right, that when it says cherev lo tavor ba'aretzachem, it means even a cherev of peace won't come. In other words, not only will there be peace, but even someone coming with cherev for peaceful reasons won't come in your land, which means that what's my job? I got to get rid of him, because it must be he's not supposed to be here. Ela afilu shel shalom, v'hu eino yodea de'ein doro dome yafen. Here's the great line. He didn't even realize that his door wasn't ra'oi for this. In other words, he was living on his high pedestal in his kingdom, thinking, oh, I did this reform and I'm great and everything's great. And he had no clue what was going on with the people. He had no clue that the people weren't in a time of bracha. This wasn't a time that we were at war for bracha, right? It's a few generations before the Korban. And he was, I believe, the fourth to last king, maybe. There was Menashe, there was Yehoyachin, Yehoyakim, and Sikiyahu, I think. He was the fifth to last. I think he was the fifth to last. Menashe was his son, and he was bad. And that was when everything was sealed in his time, if I remember correctly. So there were four after him. So anyway, if I didn't mess up. But anyway, he basically, right, he was clueless as to what was going on. Ki hava nicha nafshe, when he was about to die, chaza Yirmiyahu svate dekam rachshan. Yirmiyahu sees his lips moving. Amar, shema chas v'shalom milta delo mahagna amar. Agavtzare. So what is he saying? Maybe he's saying like he's cursing God or something. Maybe he's saying something lo hagun, right? And something inappropriate because he's so, right? He's, right? You would imagine people on their deathbed, they're screaming out in pain. They're likely to curse God and get angry at him for what he did. Gachim b'shame, he leaned down to kind of hear what he was saying. And he heard, dekamatzik ale dina anashe. He was matzikat adin. In other words, he said, oh wow, I'm really right. What did he say? Amar, Sadiku Hashem kipiu mariti. Right? This is a pasuk from Echa. Okay? So he was matzikat adin, and he said, wow, I really, right, they understand this pasuk that it's Yoshiyahu speaking, and he's saying, God is righteous because I was wrong. Patach aleihu haishata, and here's the famous, we have a whole kina about this. It comes off of this whole story, basically. It's built on this. Yirmiyahu starts to say, there's a whole kina, vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Okay, it's a whole kina he wrote about him. And it comes from this pasuk, Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem nilka b'shchitotam. That's the end of the pasuk. This is a pasuk from Echa, which is built upon, that Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem, he was our Mashiach, right? He was not the Mashiach, but he was like a Mashiach of Hashem, and he was nilka b'shchitotam. He was captured from their bad deeds. So, or I don't know exactly how you would translate b'shchitotam from their shchitut, I assume, from the corruption. So you see here that Yirmiyahu, even though, right, he got punished because he didn't ask Yirmiyahu, but Yirmiyahu saw in him when he was dying that he really had good intentions all along and that he accepted his fate. Okay. And that's why there's this whole, like I said, this Vayikonen Yirmiyahu. I think even, should have checked this out, I think in the pasuk in the, I think there's a pasuk that talks about Vayikonen Yirmiyahu. Is it a pasuk? I forget. I think there's stuff in Yirmiyahu about it it even comes up in the text. In other words, I think there's a pasuk about it somewhere. I don't know. Okay, I'll have to look it up after. But I'm not sure how much of it is in the text and how much of it is drashot on the text. Do you remember that they made a fast because there was melo pi hatanur or melo atanur? It wasn't clear whether what it said, right? Our nusach I think said melo pi hatanur, and they made a fast about that of the shidafon. Ibayelhu kimelo tanur tfua o dilma kimelo tanur pat. What does it mean? Does it mean that it was full of the tfua itself, right? The kernels of wheat. Or was it full of bread that was made from the wheat? Okay, which would be a different quantity. Tashma, let's learn from here. Kimelo pi tanur, it says. Okay, so therefore, what do you see? If it's kimelo pi tanur, you can't cover up the mouth of the tanur with grains of wheat. It would have to be a dough, which would be more the bread option. So now they say, no, v'adayin tibayle kikisuye de tanur. Odilma kidara derifta dehadule lepuma de tanura. You could still ask a question why. It could be that they covered the tanur. The options here are either that you cover the tanur, in other words, you could either cover the tanur, like take the dough and kind of, right, take, one second, you can either take. Kisuya de tanur would be enough that it would cover the right. They assume here in the note they assume that we're talking about based on Rabbeinu Gershom that you're taking one kikar and just covering the tanur, the opening of the tanur with that. Or it could be a row of bread that you put in that are stuck on the, like you could put around the whole rim of the opening, you could stick loaves of bread, right? It's not just the dough they're talking about. It's talking about what would they do? They would stick the dough on the walls, right? So if it's kimeloa tanur, it means you have an oven full of bread, anymore,
or else were you filling the actual space? Stacking it, did it mean that it was stacked with either the grain or the bread, or was it just the cover, the inside walls of it?
The inside walls, right, you could just cover the inside walls, and then it would be a smaller amount, but it would still be more than just one, right. It wouldn't be full, but it would be more.
It would be full in the sense.
Right, it would be more full.
Anymore.
Exactly. So they say teiku. They don't really know what the answer is.
That's a good answer.
Teiku. Okay. V'ogaz ru ta'anit al shachlu ze'evim. Remember the ze'evim ate the two tinokot. Amar ula mishumar b'shumar ben yehot sadak. Okay, they ate them and then they vomited them up. Okay, now we have a great question. We're going to love this one. Okay, when you have a dead body, the flesh of the body is metame, and the bones of the body are metame. But what if the bones and the flesh were eaten up and vomited up? So, is it considered vomit, or is considered dead bones, or, yeah, I thought you were going to love this one, especially you were sick yesterday, dead bones, or dead, or right, so are the bones still considered bones, and is the flesh still considered flesh, or is it now considered vomit? So, they said the bones are still considered bones, because they're still intact, right, they don't get digested. Right, but the flesh gets digested, and when it comes back out, it's no longer in the same form. So the flesh is not matame, but the bones still are matame.
But doesn't death make them tame? I mean, they're dead.
It's they're dead. But the question is, what about them is matame now? We have flesh that got vomited up, and we have bones. The flesh is no longer flesh of a dead body because it now got digested and it changed forms. It's not flesh anymore. It's now called vomit, and vomit doesn't matame. Even if it's vomit of dead body. Let's say this. We eat animals, we kill them, right, and we vomit them up. That's not, although, right, dead animals are matame. How does that work? I don't remember anymore. But the point is that it changed its form and it's no longer flesh, whereas the bones are still bones. Okay, because the form of it now is not the same as it was before. Okay, I knew you'd like that part. Al elo matri'im b'shabbat, tana rabbanan, ir shekifu anochuim o nahar, ve'achad tfinah mitarefet b'yam, ve'achad yachid shenirdach mipnei nochuim, o mipnei listim, o mipnei ruach ra'ah. Al kulan, okay, all these things that happen on Shabbat, right, the city's attacked by non-Jews, a flood comes in, tfinah, the boat is about to drown, Yachid that's being chased by non-Jews or by robbers or by Ruach Ra'ah, okay, even Shedim. Ba'al Kulan, on all these things, Yachid Rashai L'Sagef Et Atzmo B'Tani. An individual can take upon himself a fast. Here it seems like even if it's for somebody else, okay, he can fast to make this better. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here's a great line. Ein HaYachid Rashai L'Sagef Et Atzmo B'Tani Shema Yitzarech L'Briot Ve'ein HaBriot Merachamot Alav. This is great. Okay, someone goes on a hunger strike, and then they can't work anymore, and they need tzedakah because they're going on a hunger strike. So they're saying, if you do that to yourself, people are not going to have rachamim on you. In other words, you basically put yourself into this situation, and ein abriyot merachamot alav, and you're going to have to get yourself out of it. Okay, and then don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to need help from other people, right? And then they won't have rachamim on you. So his approach is, don't put yourself in a ta'anit if you can't handle it. And you can't afford it. Amar v'yudamarav, my time at Rabbi Yossi, dechtiv, v'hi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, in the Sipur of the Briah, it says, v'hi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. What does that mean, l'nefesh chaya? Nishamat shenatati b'cha hecheyeha. Keep it alive. In other words, you have to take care of yourself. You can't put yourself in situations that are going to endanger your life. Shimon ha'timni omer, ap ala dever. Okay, do you remember this? He said, even on dever, you can do a fast on Shabbat. And then, lo hodu lo chachamim. Okay, the chachamim didn't agree with him. Now we're going to have a question about this. Ibai, lo hodu lo chachamim b'shabbat, aval b'chol hodu lo. They didn't agree with him that you can do a fast on Shabbat. But b'chol, you could. Odilma lo hodu lo chal. Or maybe they didn't agree with him at all, even b'yom chol. Tashma, let's learn it from this source. Ditanya, matri'in ala dever b'shabbat, ve'ein tarich lomar b'chol. Okay, you can call out to God if there's dever on Shabbat and even on Chol. Rabbi Hanan ben Pitum, Talmidosha Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer. Okay, he passed down the name of Rabbi Akiva. Ein matrina la dever kol ikar. Okay, he says dever is not something that we call out to God forever. So you see, you can assume here then when lo hodu lo chachamim, the chachamim were holding like Rabbi Akiva and they didn't agree with him about anything. Okay, let's stop here for today. We'll start up from here tomorrow.